your financial needs aren't independent of each other, so your financial advisor shouldn't be either. At Mercantile Bank, our experienced United Wealth professionals are united to serve you and your complete financial planning and wealth management needs. Are you just starting your investment journey or need to roll over a retirement plan? Do you need to plan for a loved one with special needs or for your own life after work? Maybe your business needs a succession plan or you want to enhance your employee benefit programs. Whatever steps you need to take, our United Wealth experts are ready to take them with you. Together, we are united.
Hi, this is Ron Kintroff with Muddy River News. Welcome to the Business Spotlight, and we are joined by a couple of folks from Neiman's, Rich Jr., the CEO, and Richie, who is the director of non-perishable over there, right?
Director of everything non-grocery.
Non-grocery, right. So, all right, first question. What was your first job as an employee of Neiman's probably when you were 12 or 13 years old? What did your dad have you doing?
Well, my first job was cleaning restrooms at the 24th and Spring store, which used to be out on the corner.
Right.
That was my first job, yeah.
Okay, Richie?
Sweeping floors. We used to have when we used to do fruit baskets for the holidays inside sweeping floors after school. I believe I was 13, because I had to get Mrs. Bick at St. Peter's to sign off on
yeah,
a work permit.
Yeah. But you guys, I think... You guys all had to work your way up doing a variety of jobs through the grocery store. I think that was important. I know it was important to your dad that you had to experience every part of the grocery store.
Yeah.
Is that pretty similar now to the way things are operating as new generations come through?
In terms of family members?
Yes.
Yeah, what I've always told my kids is, as a dad, I'll give you a job, but in terms of what your career looks like, you have to earn every promotion just like anybody else, and that's very, very important.
So, Richie, what was your transition from sweeping floors?
I pretty much did it all. Of course, that many years ago, 20-some years ago, we were still nearly all grocery. So if it was in a grocery store, I probably did it, from front-end work to perishable departments. Eventually, when I graduated from school, moved over to Champaign and worked as an assistant manager and eventually ran my own store. And
here you are.
Kind of gone from there.
So non-perishable stuff. So the store has, or the organization has really evolved from strictly grocery to what you guys do now, and we'll get into that a little bit different. But how did that evolution take place?
Well, you know, we kind of looked, and this is probably 35 years ago, we started looking out, and we saw a couple of things. We wanted diversity from a geography standpoint and also from a format standpoint. Geography is so you don't have all your eggs in one basket, and that sort of thing, but also because, you know, Illinois in general has been a little bit difficult for population. A lot of the population has fled and is continuing to flee Illinois, and they're going to neighboring states, and so we want some of our business. We have a lot of business in Illinois, of course, but we want to be where the people are heading, and so that's why Minnesota, Wisconsin, Indiana, Missouri, for us, and pretty soon Michigan. We're not in Michigan yet, but we have a store planned there.
But it's a big shift from going from grocery, because you got into, was it the pet supply stuff you got into next?
Gosh, I think convenience stores was the first different retail format, and then we went from there, both hardware and pet, pretty much about the same time. That was before you got really involved. But
the move from grocery, did it have anything to do with the Targets and the Walmarts of the world starting to carry groceries and the competition, and maybe the margins were starting to get a little slimmer?
Well, there's no question that you have to look. You know, we're an ESOP organization, so we're owned by our associates. And so we have to view things as it's almost as if we were a public company, because we're responsible to all of our associates. So we look for growth and to protect, you know, the future growth of the business. So we're always on the lookout for that. And that's why we're also willing to try a lot of different things.
Right.
And certainly we're not successful at everything we try.
Right. Was it hard for your father to make that move away from being, you know, the primary grocery store chain and then trying to get out in these other areas?
Well,
was it just something he had to do? You talked about diversity.
He wasn't the driver of it.
Okay.
All he had to do was say, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
All right.
Let's give it a go.
So some of the things you're involved in, we mentioned the hardware. You guys have a number of Ace Hardwares now, don't you?
Yeah, we're operating 36 hardware stores in four states, including Illinois. I guess it's five. Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin and Minnesota.
In Minnesota, and these are all Ace Hardwares, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And if I understand the evolution, they reach out to you, don't they? A lot of times, because a lot of these are family-owned. There's no follow the family into some of these stores. So Ace is reaching out to you guys now, aren't they?
Well, I would certainly say it's a combination. We've opened up a handful of ground-up stores that we've done in Wisconsin, all the states I've mentioned. But certainly there's a number of opportunities that have come from other families in the mm-hmm. business. Could be one store, could be half a dozen that mm-hmm. we've taken on at any given time that they don't have a succession plan, and we offer that for them, and it's worked out good for both us, the buyer, and then the seller.
How much? Sorry, go ahead, Rich.
Well, as we acquire, it's been really interesting because we are an ESOP company and owned by our associates. That's a real big plus for the group of folks that the seller is leaving behind. Mm-hmm. So as we buy, that's a real positive thing for folks.
From an accounting standpoint, HR and all that type of stuff, how big of a challenge is it to have not only that you have the pet stuff and you have the pizza places? How big of a challenge is it for you guys? Are you operating them all under the same accounting package, or you have it divided up between the things? Or
yeah, we are, but probably I would say first of all, we always have to build out our support system for mm-hmm. each group of stores, and each group has to have a support system. Of course, that's all the leads of those support systems they report to Richie. But IT is probably another challenge,
right,
in terms of being different. Accounting sometimes will offer a challenge because the businesses are so different. We do Little Caesars Pizza also,
right,
and so they're all a little bit different. Two of those groups of stores that we do are franchises. Little Caesars is a franchise, and Pet Supplies Plus is franchise. Now Ace Hardware is a co-op,
right?
So they're all a little bit different.
But do they all run their own packages as far as back ends, or are you able to use what you guys have used for years with?
Yeah, for
the
most
stores.
Part, you know, we certainly run them all under the umbrella of our organization, but certainly there are lots of challenges from mm-hmm. for all the above because, nobody runs on the same POS, for example.
Right.
So it's a little bit unique, and we're probably unique.
You're very
unique. In the country.
Yeah.
With how we operate and have diversified, as Dad kind of said, both geographically as well as format. But yeah, it takes a heck of an IT team to pull all that together, mm-hmm. and the other departments as well. You mentioned mm-hmm. HR, but accounting, marketing, the whole thing there presents a whole lot of challenges because nothing is exactly the same.
So, Rich, where were you at when the company decided to do the hardware and the pet stores? Were you, I know you were part of the organization, but what position? Were you a part of those decisions that were being made at that time?
Yeah, I was either CEO or president.
But did you go home and go, oh my gosh, we're doing hardware now, what are we? I mean, was it the type of thing like that, or were you?
Well, I was the one who went out.
Wait, Richie probably could tell you that.
I guess my perspective is, and certainly Dad was leading the charge along with our executive team mm-hmm. As we kind of went out there and did. And I can remember because this was, I was probably running either in school or running, you know, individual store at the time. But I can remember when I would get some of that information, hey, we're going to go do this. And it started mm-hmm. out with one.
Right.
And it was just a kind of a, hey, well, we've seen these. It looks like an opportunity. We can probably be good at that. I wouldn't say that any of these things started out with a great big vision necessarily to be maybe what we are. Mm-hmm. But it was, hey, we're going to try this. And then when we find success, I think then we're all in. In hardware, certainly been probably maybe our best example of that, but convenience stores,
right,
pizza and pet, I think are no different. But there's no doubt that it was purposeful, mm-hmm. And then we've been successful, I think, with it.
Well, I went out and just looked at concepts and settled on Ace and PSP, but looked at a whole number of concepts.
PSP is Pet Supplies Plus.
Pet Supplies Correct. Plus, yeah. And so we were looking for that. And the other advantage that this offers us when we go into a community, for instance, we went to Wisconsin, how many years ago was that, 4 years ago? Went to Wisconsin looking for a grocery site for Harvest Market. And we still don't have grocery there, but we've got 14 or 15 hardware stores. We got 9 pizza stores and 2 or 3 pet stores, but no grocery yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so we also... whether we, in some cases, we own real estate that might be a strip shopping center, or someone else does, and we look for where the opportunities, where are the needs in that community, and then we might populate that whether it's ours or somebody else's center with more than one concept. So that also makes us attractive to developers, because if they're developing something and we can provide fill more than one need with one mm-hmm. type of retail, then so they kind of look for us.
Was there something about the way the franchises, PSP, Pet Supplies Plus, and Ace Hardware, the way they were ran that attracted to you? Because what I like about the Ace Hardware is they're smaller hardware stores. They're right. Like your neighborhood hardware store, so to speak.
Well, we believe, and we consider ourselves retailers now, not just grocers, so we right. call ourselves retailers. But we believe as a group that all retail going forward has to be experiential. Just transactional retail is not going to be successful. Now, experiential can mean different things. Mm-hmm. If you've been in a Harvest Market of ours, that's experiential, you know, off the charts. But hardware, as it is with Ace, is experiential also, because in some ways it's a throwback to the old days of that type of service. You know, the folks that are in our Ace Hardware stores, they solve problems. You walk in and say, "Gosh, this is happening with my toilet. What do I need to do here?" And there's an old time, smaller hardware store feeling, and that's the experience part of what you get there. In the pet stores, you bring your pets in, you talk about pets. Our folks that are working there are really pet centric people, and so every type of retail has to be experiential in our mind in some fashion.
And you went back to that with the store, the County Market store at 24th Street, 24th of Spring, right? Because that was a part of the move, was to experiential.
Right.
Am I
wrong? That okay. store, that's right. correct. That's a Neiman store now. That's our second one of those that we've done. We've got another one in the queue right now, and in time there'll be more and more of those.
You mentioned the Harvest Market. How long have those guys been around?
About 9 years.
So what was the very similar thought process on bringing on the Harvest Markets versus the Aces and PSPs? Or
the Harvest stores, and the closest one to Quincy is in Springfield, mm-hmm. and then we're in Champaign, going to be in Indianapolis in 3 weeks. But that came about actually because we raise cattle, and that's the only way that concept would have been birthed, is
okay.
because what we do in the Harvest Market stores is we connect people back to the land, and so we have relationships with producers and makers. Producers are people that grow things, makers are people that change value, and so we're a producer of beef. And so Jerry Kettler and I spent almost 4 years visiting producers and makers within 500 miles to develop these relationships. And that's what's so interesting. People come into Harvest Market for adventure. They come in for knowledge. You can eat 5 days a week in Harvest Market, never be bored. It's just, there's so much creativity, but people want to know what's in their food. They want to know what's not in their food. And we give people information, and it's quite an interesting experience. We have live entertainment on Friday and Saturday nights.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it's just, it's a whole different thing, but that is experiential to a degree that you don't see in grocery. We churn butter in those stores. Mm-hmm. But it's not about just churning butter. It's about the Kilgus Family Farm sweet cream that comes into the butter churn room. The byproduct is buttermilk. That goes into our biscuits. The biscuits end up in the farmhouse restaurant in the store. And so there's this circular motion of all this food, a lot of times local. So it's a very unusual concept.
But does it make it harder to purchase products for those stores, because it's such a unique skill set that you're asking for your vendors?
Yeah, and most...
That's why you're not in it, Richie.
Yeah, no doubt. I touch it on the fringes, but
right.
No doubt that Dad and that team have it going on.
Well, Richie's a part of the executive committee that makes a lot of these important decisions as well. But yeah, it is. We have to develop relationships, and that's why most of them are with family operations. And these are real relationships, and that's why it took 4 years before we ever got off the ground.
But it's got to make you feel good, though, as a larger organization, employee-owned, to bring in some of these smaller folks into your large store. That's got to be a good feeling for you guys.
Yeah, it's a two-way street. They really appreciate it. They love doing that, and we do. A lot of times, and I don't want to get we're on to grocery a lot, but that's kind of our core too. But yeah, a lot of times we'll go back to a family operation that might be growing one thing, and we'll say, look, you've got other family members. Is there something else you want to grow? Because if you'll grow it, we'll buy it. Mm-hmm. And I always tell these producers and makers out there, I'm not going to tell you what to charge us for your product, because there needs to be a sense of fairness to this. I say, look, if your product's got the enough quality and the story's strong, and you tell us what do we need to pay for your product, we'll put our margin on it in mm-hmm. the store. And if the quality's there and the story is there, our customers will buy it. We'll have an ongoing relationship. Mm-hmm. It's just as simple as that. We don't do the routine where we squeeze people.
It wouldn't work if you did.
No, we want it to be fair, and it's got to be an ongoing relationship.
For the non-perishable, are you guys actively seeking new Ace Hardwares, new Little Caesars, or are you kind of waiting for those opportunities to come to you?
No,
I
would say a big part of what I do day in and day out is looking for those opportunities and actively and continue. There's not many days or weeks that go by that I'm not dealing with a potential acquisition or working on a grounds up project.
Okay.
We've always got something going on. And
yeah, there's always negotiating in the pipeline. Some deals that we've done over the years might take a few months, and some take 8-10 years mm-hmm. to come to fruition.
One last question. What's going on at 48th and Broadway? I can't let you leave without asking about that.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
Oh, come
we
on.
Are,
you got to have an idea.
We are.
You wouldn't believe the number of rumors going around. You probably have heard of them.
I've heard some really good ones.
I have
heard
too.
That we were going to do a gentleman's club.
I've heard that one. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds, but we're not able to divulge that now, but we will redevelop that site.
Do you know what you're doing? Or are you still working on that?
Well,
you don't have to tell me what you're doing, but
we actually we got to the altar
right
with a very detailed plan,
right? I know that.
And we pulled back from that and are reevaluating, but we are
but
so,
do you okay go ahead
no so
you're not
so,
going to tell me if you have a game plan yet.
Actively working on that, but
Richie,
but we're not ready. he's not going to give up the goods either.
Live.
All right, hey, thanks for coming in and sharing the story, guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Rich Neiman. This has been the Business Spotlight.
Always good to see you.
Always good. Brought to you by Mercantile Bank. I'm Ron Kincher from Muddy River News.